As you know, these last few weeks we've had a series from Genesis. And this morning I want to take a brief excursion out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, which says, which God said that he made man his own image, male and female, he made them. We are made in the image of God. That means there is something in your constitution that is very, very different from the rest of the animal kingdom and for the rest of creation, even more so in the union of a husband and wife in marriage. It also means that because you are made in God's image, you have dominion to represent God in this world that he has created. In addition, it means that we have a special relationship with God that the other creatures of the earth do not share, because we are in the image of God. And because we are in the image of God, we have special abilities, again, that the others do not have, particularly our ability to think and to create and to communicate. These things are very, very special. So we who have been made, because we are in the image of God, are also makers. And with that, I had a little fun, and I went to Word Explorer and entered the suffix maker, a lawmaker, dressmaker, cabinet maker, policymaker, clockmaker, glassmaker, movie maker. Not everyone wants to be. You may like to be a pacemaker, playmaker, matchmaker, merrymaker, or moneymaker. And you certainly do not want to be a noisemaker, troublemaker, or odds maker. But biblically speaking, there is one, and to my knowledge so far, there is only one maker that you are invited to become, yea, commanded to be, a peacemaker. Today, brothers and sisters, very simple. We have one verse to ingest. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. You know, God says in James, receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Here is the word for today. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Written in the Greek, the word blessed is makario, from which we get the word makarion. Charlie is not here. But he is Charlie the Blessing. Or another possible translation is Happy Charlie, which may be the case. He's with his children in Israel right now. Makario are the Irene Poioi. Many mothers and fathers look at their newborn baby girl and said, we're going to name her Irene, because it's just a beautiful little peaceful child, from which we also get the word ironic. So what Jesus was saying, he was saying, blessed or happy are the peace doers, peacemakers, peace doers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Hebrew, not an adjective-rich language. When they want to say an adjective, they put the word son of in front of it, and then they have a noun. So son of God means the peacemaker. That person is doing a godlike work. That person is resembling godlike behavior. So what Jesus is saying overall is, folks, Sermon on the Mount, all you multitudes, you 12, you know God is great. You know that he is creator. You know that he is righteous. Newsflash, he is a champion of peace. And you are the peacemaker. Now, we run into a problem. Most everybody has tried to make peace. And for a lot of folks, it hasn't worked out. A lot of people said, this is not my bag. It doesn't work. So go back into a quiet corner and just kind of tolerate a very small world. Most people have less than an admirable track record. Or maybe you think there's peace, but that's because one person won and the other person lost. And one person is pushed down. You don't make any more noise. I get my way. I prevail. That's what you call peace. Well, this morning, God wants us to get a handle on becoming a peacemaker. And to become a peacemaker, we first must understand something about the word peace, all right? If you want to be a cabinet maker, you would first understand carpentry. If you wanted to be a money maker, you would first have to understand business or finance. If you wanted to be a movie maker, you have to know something about production. And if you wanted to be a peacemaker, it'll never happen until we get a handle on the doctrine of peace as it comes from God. So I just want to share with you a few things about peace. These come in no particular order, but to understand peace, understand this. Number one, peace was designed to be an end. It is a purpose. I was surprised to learn this past week that amongst the Hebrews, peace was, that word arene, was a synonym to the word telos. Telos is the word far away. It's a purpose. It's our end. Our purpose is peace. A telegraph brings a far word, brings it up close. A telephone brings a sound, brings it up close. Television, the same thing, brings it up close. For peace to be a telos, it's saying, that peace which resides with our champion God, bring it close. Know it close. Not a poor substitute of peace, but the real deal. Bring it down. That's why I'm here. That is my end. Now, the rabbis in Jesus' day, for 100 years before and 100 years after, that was largely their conclusion. The method of operation was not that one rabbi stood up and said, hey, listen, I'm telling you how it is, and I want you all to take good notes and go home. They would posit a thought, and then they would talk about it in good rabbinic form, with stories and discussion and disagreement. And over the course of time and in many different settings, one would bring up the topic, what is our telos? What is the purpose of life? Is it prosperity? Is it money? Is it prevailing? Is it self-esteem? Is it accomplishment? Is it achievement? Is it advancement? And the rabbis, by and large, concluded, you know what it is? At the end of the day, when you grow up, no peace. Peace is it. Peace is the target. We're seeking peace. Now, I would say this was not unanimous. There were rabbis from the Shammai tradition, and they were the zealots. They would be the minority report, and they would say, no, no, no. No, the purpose is victory. The purpose is victory. And a lot of us would have no problem if the verse said, blessed are the triumphant, for they shall become the sons of God. We'd love it. We say, yeah, it sounds like Joshua, doesn't it? Yeah, that's what we want. But no, it doesn't say that. And much like our pastor was sharing about the cultural issue that we're dealing with right now, we could say, yep, this is a time to get militant, church. Time to get militant. And Jesus said, hey, I could have said that back then. I think these Romans were good guys. They're fleecing taxes out of us. They are an occupying force. And that's why these people were saying, push back, push back. They wanted their Messiah to be really wielding a heavy sword. And Jesus says, and he could have said it, he didn't. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, we don't acquiesce the truth, not at all. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. The truth is going to be true, and the truth is going to live right here. And I am not going to acquiesce. That is why I will be persecuted. I better be. I mean, I don't want to be, but yeah. Nonetheless, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Our God is a God of peace. I take note that when Billy Graham was starting his evangelistic enterprise in the 1950s, he chose as the motif for his gospel, we're going to call it peace with God. He just didn't think that up. As mentioned, the rabbis in Jesus' day considered peace to be an end, and I commend them for that, and I think Jesus commended them for that. Number two, something to know about peace. It is not the absence of disturbance. How I wish it was. Oh, God, take away the problem and I'll be a happy man. And God says, Swanson, not going to happen. Not going to take away the problems. You're going to want to just get yourself in an environment where there's peace here, front, back, left, right. That's where I want to be. Not God's will. Not going to happen. And if you could do it, you'd wreck it. Peace in front of you, peace behind you, left and right, except for right there. Then you'll make your own disturbances, which is what happens, which is why people who, quote, have it all are not at peace, because we're not designed that way. Peace is not the absence of disturbance. It is social. I should say disturbance is social as well as it is psychological. So when old buddy Mikhail Gorbachev said, all we want is peace, all we want is peace, he didn't mean that. He meant control. Every tyrant wants control. But that's not peace. And our enlightened humanist friends, they don't have a handle on this thing either. They say the only way for peace is to get rid of those problems out there. Yeah, those religious people, you know, all those guilt-ridden religious, and the capitalist capitalism, which I call free market, but they call it capitalism. If we, you know, that's the source of it, you know. And then there are our world religions that have chimed in on this. All the disturbances that are in the world, the Hindus would tell you, the enlightened Hindus would tell you, it is all an illusion. It's just an illusion. Don't take it seriously. It's an illusion. You think that's going to help? Oh, okay. And our Buddhist friends, they look at all the disturbances of life and they say that they need to be denied. Deny them. Just repress it. Just push it back. Is that going to help? Well, let's consider what the Word of God has to say about this from Old Testament and New Testament theology. The reason for disturbances, the core reason for disturbances, go right into the human heart. That's where it starts, human nature. And the question that I would bring to it, that we bring to it, is that, okay, I'm in. I got it. Problem is sin. God, is it possible that your peace can override my disturbance? Can that happen? If it can't happen, I don't have much to preach on today. But I want to read to you from Gordon MacDonald's Ordering Your Private World, this illustration of the point called The View from the Bridge. Again, the question being, in a world of disturbances, must you be disturbed? A close friend was once officer aboard a United States Navy nuclear submarine. Many ships were passing overhead on the surface, and the submarine was having to make a large number of violent maneuvers to avoid possible collisions. In the absence of the captain, my friend was the duty officer and in charge of giving the commands by which the submarine was positioned at each moment. Because there was such a sudden and unusual amount of movement, the captain, who had been in his own quarters, suddenly appeared on the bridge asking, "Is everything all right?" "Yes, sir." Captain took a quick look around and he started back through the hatch. As he disappeared, he said, "It looks all right to me, too." That simple routine encounter between a naval commander and one of his trusted officers provided me with a helpful picture of an ordered world. All around that submarine, potential danger of collision was lurking. It was enough to make any captain show concern. But the danger was outside, deep down in the sub, was a quiet place where there could be absolute control of the ship's destiny. And that was where the captain instinctively headed. In that center of command, there was not an ounce of panic, only a calm and deliberate series of actions being carried by highly trained crew of seamen doing their job. Then when the commander appeared on the bridge to assure himself that everything was in order, it was. Is everything all right? Assured that it was, he looked around and he agreed. It looks all right to me too. He had gone to the right place and he had received the proper answer. Disturbances all over the place. And God says, everything okay? And you can say, yeah, it does. And he can say, yeah, me too. I agree. Despite the disturbances. I want to pause for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to take out a pen or a pencil. You got some paper with you. I want you to identify that which is in your life that robs you of peace. I want you to identify the besetting disturbances that for you just have not gone away. For most of you, this may be a secret. You may write in code. But I do want you to identify it because, folks, I want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with a general. I want to deal with that particular, annoying, persistent, besetting stealer of peace. Identify it. Give you a minute to do so. Just to review, God has for you his peace. That's an end. That's a target. That's what you're shooting for. It is not the absence of disturbance. I might also add, it's not a birthright. It's not a result of you successfully achieving comfort. Peace is not because you lived your life and by gum, you just did everything right. Thirdly, peace is a gift. Peace is a gift of God. And for this, I would just like to share with you a sampling of some of the wonderful, wonderful truths and promises that we have in God's Word, to just let these words wash over your soul. Psalm 4:8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. There is a true peace of God that overrides the disturbances and the problems that are in the present. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18, likens peace to a river that flows. It just flows down upon us. I got to look at this one. You don't know. I look at that, and all I see is a reflection of the shades. Over here, it's really nice. It says, look at, would be flowing like a river in your righteousness, like the waves of the sea. Man, what a wonderful experience that is. But beware, in verse 22, it goes on to say, there is no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for those violating the commandments of God. How can there be? God's going one way, you're going the other way. You want his peace? This isn't going to work, you know? You got to go with God, receive his will, and receive his peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Well, what about the circumstances? Yeah, what about the circumstances? Where are they? Why do you ask? He keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because his heart trusts in you. Verse 12, O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you indeed have done for us all our works. Even though I do some things, I credit God for those works. Christians receive the peace of God, Philippians 4, 9. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. These come from God. You know, God loves you, but you cannot fly. God loves you, but there are disturbances in your life through sin. The law of lift overcomes the law of gravity so that planes can get up off the ground. And there is a spiritual law that offsets the law of disturbances, and that is this. It is peace with God precedes the peace of God. May I say it again? Peace with God precedes the peace of God. You cannot be a person who says, I just get me to the solution. I don't really care a whole lot about the process. God says, oh, you got to care about the process. My son, the process is filled with my son's blood. Would you please care about the process? Colossians chapter 1. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. Well, how did he do that? Making peace by the blood of his cross. My. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? I'm telling, now, take away the question. This is something. Enmity with God. Gone. Making peace with God possible. How can it be? Will it be? But I'll tell you, Christianity insists on being very intimate and personal. Ephesians 2:14, and you who were once far off and been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. You see, our peace is not in it. It is a him. The world is looking for an it. The world is looking for an it. Give me an it. Give me a key. Give me the lessons of life, the keys for success. Give me a pill. Give me something to drink. Give me a relationship. Give me a job. Give me something. God, send me an it. I need an it. And God says, you're not going to get an it. You're going to get a him. You're going to get a transforming him. See, the human condition is such that we're saying, I want to stay just the way I am, but with your peace. And God says, oh, man, have I got a job to do here. Now, you got to get it right. You're going to get my peace, but that's going to be through a transformed you. If you want to hang on to you, forget it. It's not going to work. This is a day of peace. Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. And this is how it works, folks. And I'm going to be really general here. I'm just going to tell you it works. No, we sang about it this morning. Maybe you experienced it. We were singing that song. Enthrone him. I'm not getting the words right now, but it was, say it again. Sit enthroned upon my heart, written by our pastor in Luke. Isn't that nice, Angela? What a gift to have your music. Yeah, but you wrote that song. What a blessing. And then do you realize what we have here on Sunday morning, by the way? I digress. No. This is really good. But folks, you show me someone who has enthroned Christ upon their hearts, and I'm going to show you the peace of God. It happens. But I have no peace. I have to say, square one, enthrone Christ upon your heart. This is where it begins. In Romans 14:17, gets to the end of the end result here. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, and to make it 21st century, the kingdom of God isn't eating and drinking and fun seeking and self pursuing and feeling good about myself and recognition, but it's not. It's righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. Listen, peace is our aim, it's your aim. God does not promise you prosperity. He does not promise you ease. He does not promise good health, although all of these things are blessings. But one thing is to be universal, to receive the peace of God through the blood of his Son. So Jesus, I think, would tell these rabbis meeting in circle, what is the chief end of person? And they come to the almost, not unanimous conclusion, but the majority conclusion is the end of mankind is peace. And I see Jesus chiming in saying, good work, guys. You're halfway there. But I'm going to do you one better. Blessed are the peace doers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Have you got your peace? Now go out and make some more. Go out and make some more. If I were the Holy Spirit, and be glad I am not, but if I were, I would think, why would I give my peace to somebody who has no intentions of being a peacemaker? Because that's the point. The point is to receive and then express. Receive and help someone else to receive through the word of peace and through the gospel of redemption. You see, I was really just a whisker away a few moments ago of saying that the peacemaker is Jesus. After all, he is our peace. And right when Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount could have been saying, blessed is the peacemaker, he doesn't. He says, he looks out over the 12 and he looks out over the multitude. He says, blessed, you guys, this is your, you can do this. Oh yeah, you can do this. Blessed are the peacemakers. You'll be doing a godlike work. And you can do that. Well, how are we going to do that? How is peacemaking going to happen? Peacemakers, first of all, go to places where peace is lacking. Peacemakers get out of their quiet, safe corner, and I hope you have one. We all need one, place of solace. But we get out and we intentionally go to where the people are. Because where the people are, that's where the problems are. It's where the disturbances are. And if in Christians, we just love to go off on a retreat and to live in a commune. Sorry. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And Becky Pippert wrote the book, Out of the Salt Shaker. Good title of a good book on evangelism. We get out and we bring our salt to a decaying world. That's what we do. Blessed are the peacemakers. The whole tone of peacemaking is not hitting great home runs of victories and miraculous transformations and it's plugging away. It's grinding it out little by little by little by little with small deposits of goodwill and grace. And might I add this? Peacemakers, talking to you now. Sundays are a very good place to practice. I know you come here to worship. I know you come here to learn. Do not dismiss the social aspect of gathering together on a Sunday morning. There are people here. So you want to come early or stay late or both. But there are people. People to speak with, befriend, have a good word to. People who can have a ministry to you. There are a lot of church programs, but I'll tell you, the very best church programs are when people get out to do the work of peacemaking with other individuals. Peacemakers go to places where peace is lacking. Secondly, peacemakers represent the gospel of redemption and peace. Jesus brings the peace or it is not brought. The Holy Spirit brings it or it is not brought. There's nothing any individual can do or say to bring lasting, joyful peace to another. There are all kinds of short-term stopgaps, you know, go out and buy something, go out and do something, go, you know. And anecdotally, you know, and I know people who just seem to have a very peaceful life, although they're not seeking God. How do you explain that? Well, I know that's what it seems, and that's how it may be for now. But I hang my hat on John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. There is a peace that only he provides. That is the peace that we seek, and that is the peace we seek to have made in the lives of others. So when we go forth to make peace. Peacemakers know the message of the cross and know it well. And without this, peace is very short-lived. So peacemakers go to places where peace is lacking. Peacemakers represent the gospel of redemption and peace. Peacemakers speak graciously. This takes a little work, especially if you're angry, irritated, annoyed, troubled yourself, you know, grouchy. My thing growing up was sarcasm. I learned sarcasm. It was just, you know, I'm learning. I'm growing out of it. It takes practice. Work, work, work. Let your words be seasoned as with salt. Bring words of grace and peace. Because it goes like this. And again, you can do this. Jesus, this is not rocket science. This isn't for the super spiritual. This is real simple. Congenial words result in nice conversations, which result in peacemaking in one way or another. Remember, I said short and sweet. Means the conclusion's coming up right now. You got two sermons for the price of one today. You know that. Peace, peacemaking. Number one, peace. I asked you the question, what is it that is robbing you of peace? What are those besetting disturbances that come back over and over and over again? For that, I would alert you to what we sang early in the service. Enthrone him. Enthrone him. He is not disturbed by our disturbances. Get it. But Lord, what about my anger and my temper and my irritation and my annoyances? Enthrone him. The psychologist calls it processing it. Good. We'll process it. We enthrone him. Lord, nothing matters more in my value system than Jesus shed blood for sinners. And if that's true, guess what flows like a river? Guess what will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? Guess what God gives the person whose mind is stayed on him? Isaiah 26:3. The answer for all of this is his peace. But Rob, it doesn't work. Oh, it works. It works. Welcoming the peace of God to a rob-filled throne doesn't work. It must be Christ-filled. You are the Lord. You are the potter. I am the clay. Lord, transform me according to your likeness. Lord, you first, me second. There comes peace. Peacemaking. We move on. Think about your week. Think about the people in your world. Work, neighborhood, even more important, immediate family. God is saying this. Go, initiate. Go with the truth. And go with some gracious words and love. And maybe the door closes. So be it. But even then, it's not a loss. Even the attempt is registered and has some effect. Even when you think nothing happened, it happens. Because that is the method of peacemaking. And the good news is, as you do that, Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. You go forward to be a peacemaker, watch joy sidle up to you in the effort. Let's pray together. Well, Lord, now I know and I accept what life is all about. I know what your will for me is. So, Spirit of the living God, I shall honor the Son as you do and receive that wonderful third fruit of the Holy Spirit, your peace. I thank you for it. I thank you for making it possible for that peace that resides with you to be brought up close to us. And I accept my duty as a peacemaker. I look forward to this. We know that this is your work, and you do it through us. And we're happy to go forward through Christ our Lord. Amen.